So I was looking at the scripture this week.
And the one thing that struck me was this, what, we have salt, and then it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? I thought that was a very strange image, because I've never seen unsalted salt, or sodium-free salt. And then I thought to myself, I wonder if there is such a thing as sodium-free salt. And indeed, there is such a thing as sodium-free salt. And I thought, what an oxymoron that is, sodium-free salt. And I said, I wonder if there's such a thing as no light light. Well, I found it. It's called black light. And I thought, of course, black light. And then I started thinking about all the other fun oxymorons that there are, like jumbo shrimp and the sounds of silence and icy hot, which we use all the time. It never occurred to me, what an oxymoron that is, icy hot. And of course, the one that is the most controversial of all of the oxymorons, the one that in fact has gone to court over its controversy, is vegan mayonnaise. I believe it was Best Foods or someone like that that brought a lawsuit against vegan mayonnaise, saying you cannot call it mayonnaise, because mayonnaise only has three ingredients: oil, eggs, and salt. That's it. That's mayonnaise. Anything else? Not mayonnaise. And so that's gone to court. And I think they said, well, it's settle down, Best Fits. Settle down. I think was the verdict. But we look at these things because they are, it's such a visceral idea, right? And of course, none of these things were available in Jesus' day, so there couldn't have been somebody in the crowd going, what about the no salt salt? What is, does that count? And so Jesus didn't have to deal with those kind of hecklers. But Jesus uses these images because they are so visceral. They're so easily tangible. They're so easy to comprehend, right? And so I wanted to talk a little bit today about salt and light and what these images, why I think that Jesus might have used these images, what these images say about this. And there's a few different characteristics that I found from these. The first one is that each of these, salt and light, are both defined by their basic essence, right? Salt is, at its core, salty. Right? There's really no way else to describe salt. It's salty. It's defined by its essence, which makes it very simple. It's a very, almost elemental. It is a compound, but it's down to its core. If you break it all down to the final essence of it, it's still salt. Same thing with light. Even if it gets down to the very, very narrow, just a little tiny bit, it's still light. It's not anything else but light. And if you don't have the light, then there's nothing there, right? Have you ever had something that just needed salt? It's without it. It's without that salt. Or have you ever had like a flashlight that was almost out of batteries? And it just doesn't have enough light. There's just not that element there. Because all of these things, because of these two things are, there's no component of it. It just is what it is. And I think Jesus uses this to describe the people because he wants them to know that at their very core, at their very essence, there is something there. There is something there that is at their core. There's something there that is elemental about the people that he is talking to. And we'll get to what that is in a little bit. The other thing about salt and light, which I found to be interesting, is that they're only useful when they're paired with something else. You don't ever sit down and have a big bowl of salt. I mean, my sister even, who is the most, she's a person who gets this, like those tortilla chips at a restaurant and puts salt on the tortilla. I'd say, I don't know how you're still alive. She doesn't have any problems with her sodium, but she just loves salty things, and she's always been that way. her favorite thing was when you have those popcorn bowls at the end when you finish the popcorn and there's the salt around the sides. That was one of her favorite things. But salt is like this. It doesn't really work on its own. You need something. It enhances the flavor of what you put it on, right? It has to be put on some kind of food, either to enhance the flavor or to preserve it. In those days, that was very important. Salt was very important for preservation. But it didn't really preserve anything if it was just left by itself in a hunk. It didn't really do anything. It wasn't really good for anything by itself. You don't ever just have salt and just have that. Same thing with light. Now you might think, well, we have to have light so that we can see. But really, if all there was light, there really wouldn't be anything to see. Light only works when it bounces off of the objects around you so that you can see what is going on, seeing the things. And that kind of brings us to our last point, is that salt and light both enhance that which is around them. They enhance that which is around them. Have you ever made, my dad used to do this all the time, where he would get potatoes and slice them really thin, and then get a big pan of oil going and dip the potatoes in the oil and then put them on the paper towel after they were all nice and fried up. And then you have one of them and they taste awful. Just awful. I mean, they're kind of okay because they've got the oil and the grease, but they don't really taste like anything. But take a little salt, sprinkle a little salt on those bad boys while they're still a little bit oily before they get totally dry. Then you try them. Oh, you can taste it. And it's not just that you taste the salt, but it actually brings out the flavor of the potato, which you think might be, well, potatoes don't have any flavor. Yeah, not unless you put some salt on them. Then it really bring out, they really enhance that, the flavor of that potato. And salt is like that with anything. You can, any kind of thing can be bland. You put a little bit of salt on it. Even things that are sweet. As I found when I was making ice cream, I started making ice cream, and one of the books that I read of this ice cream maker, he said, you got to put salt in all of your ice cream. I know it's counterintuitive. You have to do it. Don't put a lot in. Don't make it salty. But you got to put some in, because the salt brings out the vanilla. It brings out the creamy flavor. It enhances the flavor. Same thing with light. Same thing with light. I mean, light's useful for us because it allows us to not bump into things when we're walking around. But it also can make things beautiful. If any of you have done photography, you know how important it is to get the right kind of light in the right kind of setting to make the right kind of picture. This is done with light. It enhances the world around us. So when Jesus says, you are salt and you are light, it is because you are important. You are, at your essence, useful. But only to the people around you. Only in context of community. That we need each other. We need each other in order to build each other up. And also, we as salt and as light, we are meant to better the world around us. Enhance the world around us. Make the world around us better. Indeed, even make it beautiful. Because at our very essence, that salt, that light that is within us is God. Is the divine within each of us. And then Jesus takes what seems like a left turn, but a very important left turn that will tie this scripture into our scripture next week and the rest of the Sermon on the Mount. And that is, he says to them, I have not come to abolish the law. I have not come to replace the law and the prophets. I'm not a Moses that is here to take the Moses and abolish that law. And I think this is very important because, as we've been talking about, as we talked about last week, that Jesus and Moses have a lot of similarities in the book of Matthew. From the murder of the innocents that begins the chapter, all the way up to this point where he is giving laws on top of a mountain. Right? But Jesus is very clear to say that these laws that he gives, that these ideas, that him telling people that they are salt and light, that him giving these the recitation of all of these blessings that are, Jesus is very clear to point out that this is not to replace all that has come before it, but to enhance it, to clarify it, to modify it maybe, but not to replace it. And he makes this very clear by saying that, indeed, if each of you is not holier than the Pharisees and the writers of the law, then you will be least in the kingdom of heaven. And you know, as we have often seen in like kind of Christ movies and the way that some of our these interpretations of Bible verses have done, even ways I've interpreted them, the Pharisees get a really bad rap. They always get this, they get a really bad rap in the story of Jesus. But here at the beginning, Jesus is lifting them up in a way. He's saying that if he's saying that you need to be more holy than the Pharisees, it's if the Pharisees weren't holy, that wouldn't be a very high bar to achieve, right? But what Jesus is saying that these people are followers of the law. The Sadducees, the Pharisees, those that follow the law. You need to do at least what they are doing. You need to start there, following the law. But you need to go even further. You need to go even further. And this is where salt and light come back in. Because what he's saying is that your basic essence has to always be enhancing the world around you. Always has to be bettering that which is in front of you. And he makes a very interesting description of the light. And it is a description that does not translate into English very well. Because we don't have a verb tense that can translate it. I'll read it to you here. It says, he's talking about the light, and in verse 16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Right? Let your light shine. We get the, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hear that? Let your light shine. Well, the actual verb in Greek is a third person imperative. What does that mean? Well, a first person imperative is, I have to do this. Chris, do this, do this. I'm doing this. A second person imperative is what we usually say, go clean your room. Go do this. But a third person imperative, it's referring to the actual light. So in a way, Jesus is saying to the, talking to the light, telling the light to shine, employing that the light shine before all. And so when we say, let your light shine, it's the best translation, which is to say that telling the people, don't get in the light's way. Don't get in the light's way. Let the light shine. Jesus is telling that light, light, you have to shine. You have to grow. You have to let all of the people know. And it's a very strange sort of way of imaging this. Because essentially what Jesus is saying to the people there is that at your very essence is divine creativity, is divine creation. At your very essence is God. And it's we need to not let ourselves get in the way of that which God has put within us. The divinity that God has put within us. We need to let that grow, let that shine, because then through that, through our deeds, through our actions, all of the world will see God's goodness. That God's light will be within us and shine for all of the world to see. As Glee mentioned before, she's a talking Brian now, it's a lot like that song. This little light of mine. Sing with me. I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. That's the message that Jesus is giving to these people. You are light. Let it shine. Don't let it get in the way. Don't hide it. Because if you let your light shine, it will be a gift for the whole world. So that is the message for our blessing and our gift today. Let us pray. Loving God, we are so blessed to have your light within each of us. We are so thankful for this reminder that Jesus gives us from a mountaintop so many years ago. That within each of us is a light. A light not meant for ourselves, not meant to be shown in emptiness or in a vacuum, but a light that is meant to enhance all that is around us. A light that is meant to be in community. A light that is meant to show good works and good deeds. A light that motivates us and enables us to be in this world. And indeed, not just to move through it, but to enhance it, to help it to grow, to help it to see. Lord, we pray today that we let our light shine, that we let our salt flavor, and that we let your goodness move through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.